Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I could do with that.
Yes, I'm sure you can. Darren Bergman, a very, very good morning to you. We actually have not spoken to you since you took the role of Shadow Minister of International Relations and Cooperation. A big, big mazel tov to you. And I couldn't think of a better person to be in this position. So wishing you all of the best and just do what you do best. Sure.
Thank you.
All right. So obviously, we've all been following with some horror what has gone on with Zinzi Mandela. The slew of tweets that were completely nonsensical, at times offensive at others. Durko claiming that they can't get hold of her, which I think is the biggest drivel I've ever heard in my life. They claim she was on a trip last night. She comes back onto Twitter saying, "Hi, I'm back from my trip, lovies," and I'm going to walk down the Twitter streets tomorrow. What on earth is going on?
I'm not sure. I really am worried. You know, it's behavior and becoming not necessarily just of an ambassador, but the Mandela family themselves have always conducted themselves with a lot of dignity and a lot of, decorum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is just a behavior and becoming, in my opinion.
But, how do we even make sense of it? You know, we can't make sense of it is really what you're saying. What do you think though? I mean, she tweets something that is bizarre. If it wasn't her, or if she was hacked, or if it was a bot, we would have thought that she would have come out immediately and said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, this is not me." She's done nothing of the sort. Therefore, we have to assume 6 days later that it is her and she knows exactly what she was doing, especially if you look at last night's tweet. How acceptable or unacceptable is it that Durko claims that, whose responsibility is it? Is it Durko? Is it Naledi Pandor? Where does this responsibility sit now?
Well, she does become an employee of Durko, and Durko would have to handle the internal disciplinary process if there is one. But I've written questions to the minister to find out whether indeed this is the position of the country. And if so, you know, if she's tweeting as, you know, as an ambassador, she would have to tweet the position of the country. So if this is the position of the country, well, then people need to know that. If it's not, well, then action needs to be taken against the ambassador for a breach in what is the code of conduct of ambassadors.
So let me just clarify that with you. Is when an ambassador tweets, no matter what they're saying, they have got to tweet the ideology, philosophy, and expectation of the country. They can't tweet like this in their own capacity.
Well, this is the thing. When a public representative becomes a public representative, this disclaimer of saying all tweets are my own opinion and not the opinion of my party or my country or my, you know, that kind of falls away when you're a public representative, more so as an ambassador because you're an employee. So you have to hold the line of that country that you represent. So while we're looking at ambassadors to be the beacon of hope in another country to bring tourism and direct foreign investment, you know, if your tweets are counterproductive to that, well then you might, you know, this should be some sort of investigation into that.
And
again, you know, this might be the line of governments if they're going to condone it. Well, what I was saying last night on another radio station is that this would show us, I think it would prove once and for all to people, whether we've moved away from our old administration, this previous administration, to the new administration, if there is a clear blue sea between the two. Because if they condone what has been said, then we have to appreciate that nothing much has changed.
The fact that she used expressions like "while I wine and dine," it was almost deliberately taunting, wasn't it?
Well, that's the thing. I think the tone of the tweets were pretty antagonistic. I'm all for the discussion. I'm all for us talking about land and how land should be distributed. I'm all for us, working out our history and not putting it in the past and forgetting about it. The Jewish people have come through a Holocaust. They know to forgive, but they most importantly know not to forget. So with apartheid and with the pains of apartheid, we don't say let's just forget it and let's just, you know, brush it all under a carpet. But the manner and tone in which these tweets were created and which they continued, the whole thread continued, was almost, you know, almost indicative of someone that has just had something really traumatic taken place, you know, maybe a racial incident or an incident, you know, if you read something in the newspaper about something happening in South Africa, because this was, it did seem very taunting.
Yeah, or just a lot of alcohol. I don't know. It certainly didn't seem, and there was a lot of it. In fact, I read something out, and it wasn't yesterday. It was on the public holiday and Zanati and Lindy in studio nearly had a heart attack because what I read out was apparently incredibly, incredibly rude. I wasn't aware, of what it meant, but foul, foul language, I believe. Certainly nothing, you know, that I could read out on radio, let alone would be something that a foreign diplomat, would, should be able to tweet out.
Correct. Correct. And you just have to look at who's supporting her and her calls for the
Well, isn't that interesting as well? And I wanted to get onto that is it's very, very clear that a lot of, you know, when she came back online last night, there were hundreds of messages of support for her, which I actually found was the most depressing part of the whole lot. But when I went into a lot of them, some of them had four followers, three followers, and it just seemed to be that this whole EFF system was kicking into place. Are we expecting to see her, Zinzi Mandela, moving across from the ANC towards the EFF? We've certainly had a lot of support for her tweets from the EFF, more so than from anyone in the ANC, from what I've seen.
Yeah. Look, I mean, there's no secret that a great relationship existed between Winnie Mandela and Julius Malema. And, you know, I don't think the apple would fall far from that tree, so to speak. So I can't speculate on that. So it's, you know, nothing I'm too interested in myself. But if that was the case, I wouldn't be too shocked, so to speak.
Right. How do you think the ANC is going to play this one out? I mean, they have very few options. They really can't. I mean, they can. They can choose to ignore it and hope that it goes away. But hopefully your position, the position of the DA, the position of the other political parties won't allow that to happen. What do you think is going to happen now?
Well, listen, I've got a very interesting minister. She's very pragmatic. I think when we get to speak about the Middle East at some time, and that's I'm sure her values and views are slightly different to Durko's, but right. I do believe that in the minister, I have written questions to her. I do believe that you know, this would be a very good sign of how to take this department from what has been a series of embarrassments in the previous term. I mean, Durko probably was one of the most embarrassing. We had ministers making utterances and dictators being allowed to go against, you know, law, being allowed to leave the country. Now, you know, this is, as I say, we need to put a clear blue sea between that previous administration and the new administration. She knows that she has to do that. And I think, you know, I think Zinzi's put her in a very tight spot.
Yeah, I would imagine, because it's got to be quite embarrassing for the minister herself to have.
I might say, when I say the world is watching, I was at a cocktail evening last night with some ambassadors, and I must tell you that this incident was brought up a few times. So when I say the world is watching, I'm not really exaggerating it. I really believe that it's something that people are going to watch South Africa to see what their next move is on this.
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope that that it is going to be dealt with. I think South Africans are owed an explanation, and my personal view is that she needs to be recalled. I can't imagine that this kind of thing should be allowed to happen. And again, to me, the biggest one of the biggest issues is that for 6 days there's been absolutely no acceptable explanation. I find it nonsensical and actually insulting to South Africans to say that, sorry, she's been traveling, we can't get hold of her. I find absolutely completely insulting and ridiculous. And
my, you know, highly embarrassing. I mean, the fact that your own diplomat, you cannot get a hold of your own diplomat. Now, you know, in under Durko, it's very clear. Well, within the Vienna Convention, it's very clear that when you're in another country representing your country, you have to check in with that country. So if you want to leave, and in South Africa, it's an 80-kilometer zone. If you're traveling anywhere outside of 80 kilometers, you need to get the permission, or at least you need to notify Durko that this is what you're doing. Mm. So at all times, our diplomats are monitored, just in terms of safety, in terms of, I'm not going to even try that word.
No, it's too early. It's too early. I get it, Darren. Don't.
But, you're being monitored for a good reason. Yeah. And, our own ambassador, there's no such thing. Well, I mean, Durko should be highly embarrassed.
Absolutely.
That they can't talk to their own ambassador.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not like she's riding on a camel in the Middle East.
100%. And she should be available. Yeah. Darren, I don't want to blindside you, but have you been following, the V&A waterfront incident yesterday? Feel free not to comment. It's not within your ambit, I know, but, is there anything that you can tell us about this?
Well, no, when I got on the aeroplane, I saw the tweet from Bumzile. Mm. It has seemed to really create a stir. I think what I would say is that racism is going to become an issue. The more we divide in this country, the more the increase in racism incidents or perceived incidents of racism. And I think that restaurants, shopping centers, complexes, resorts, they're all going to have to focus on what they would do in the event that there is a racial incident that takes place on their property. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw that
training for that,
almost cost per in their shares. But it has definitely, as was reported in the reports, caused a decline in the amount of attendance at Spur. But here was an incident that had nothing to do with Spur. It took place, and Spur takes the brunt of the actual incident. Mm-hmm. And I would say that in our current climate, that people are going to have to be more careful in how they approach conflict. And then, of course, resorts, restaurants, shopping centers are going to have a policy in place when a racial incident takes place.
Absolutely. Well, alleged one in this particular case. The facts aren't 100% clear. But certainly it's a very, very important subject, as you say. And even if, whether it was a racial incident or even a perceived racial incident, there needs to be the right amount of training at any of these centers, in terms of security and systems as to how to deal with it. Darren Bergman, thank you as always for making yourself so available to us. Darren is the Shadow Minister of International Relations and Cooperation and for the DA, and keep up the amazing work. It is 7:28.